And a good Sunday morning to you. Denny Long in for my pal Susie Jones, who is on vacation for a couple of weeks. She'll be back 2 weeks from today. In the meantime, we're kind of back in the saddle with a longtime friend of ours here on WCCO, host and internal medicine physician. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. Maybe I should put that first. And then radio host, podcast host. Dr. David Hilden is back with us. Dr. Hilden, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Good morning, Denny. It's great to be with you on this fall-like Sunday morning in the Twin Cities. And I don't know, as one who's not particularly good at horse riding, I don't know if I'm back in anybody's in the saddle, but I'm ready to go and talk to you and talk to CCO listeners about their health.
And when you know, when we do an open line show, we tend to get real busy here. So if you do have any kind of a medical question for Dr. Hilden, let's hear it, either by phone or by text. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know the number, 651-461-9226. I was anxious to, for a lot of reasons, to get you back on the radio, Dr. Hilden. We here at our house have been talking lately about well, flu shots for sure we always get, you know, generally in the month of October. But the confusion here, at least at our house, maybe elsewhere, is what about COVID? We don't know. We don't hear that much about it like we used to, or are we just not listening to the right sources?
No, COVID, I never heard of it, Denny. What's that? What's that? yeah, it seems like a bit ago, doesn't it, since the coronavirus of 2019 and 2020, that's why it's called that. No, it is confusing this year. You and about 300 million other people are pretty confused about what to do about their vaccines this fall. And so here's what I recommend. There are three respiratory viruses with lots of subvariants, but three big respiratory viruses that circulate largely in the wintertime. And they are influenza, flu, COVID, and the third one is RSV, or a respiratory syncytial virus. So everybody should consider where they are in getting all these things. All of us should get that flu shot. And you can do that now. You can do that now or sometime in the next few weeks. That's a good time to get your flu shot. The second one, the third one that I mentioned is RSV. That is for older adults only. So if you are 75 or older, the RSV vaccine is, at least for now, it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. So if you got it last year, you don't need it this year. And then there's COVID. This one has become so political, Denny, that it is so political. And that is what is just heartbreaking to guys like me and people who practice medicine. So the COVID vaccine, like every vaccine, is not perfect. It does not always prevent you getting disease. In fact, you still can get COVID. But it is quite good at least reducing your risk of getting very, very ill, or even ending up in the hospital, or worse yet, dying of COVID, as people were doing before. So the current recommendations from every medical person I know is that you should get your COVID vaccine. You should do that. There's lots of caveats now because of politics. The current federal government has taken what I would call a very political stance and restricted it to just people over age 65 or people who are under 65 who have at least one medical condition, which is frankly about two-thirds of us. Two-thirds to three-fourths of the population has a medical condition, so it's nearly all of us anyway. And so I recommend getting your COVID vaccine also right about now. You can do it now, sometime in the next couple, 3 weeks, and then you'll have the best protection for the coming winter months.
Are we looking at, is like the flu shot, like once a year is good as far as you know? Or would we take, for those maybe compromised health-wise, more like boosters or something like that?
Currently, it's looking like probably it'll be an annual, for COVID, I'm saying, annual vaccine, not unlike flu. That's probably what it's going to end up being. Our vaccine technology is really good, but viruses live about a nanosecond, and so they mutate. So the scientists are constantly having to do their best to see what the next one's going to be. The fall COVID vaccine has been updated to include the most recent variants of COVID. A lot of us remember those Greek letters. We're still in Omicron. Omicron is the subvariant of COVID, and that's still what it is, although there's some new variants in there. So it's probably going to be a once-a-year deal, at least for a while. And we still don't know the long-term effects of having COVID, like getting it. A lot of my patients are talking about a brain fog and a fatigue and a months-long post-infectious long COVID type of syndrome. You don't want that. So you're better off getting the vaccine.
I'm just speaking of that. I'm looking at a text that just came in a bit ago about long COVID. The texter wants to know what's a good source of information for long COVID. And is there a clinic that specializes in treating long COVID? Maybe, what's the definition of long COVID, first of all?
Yeah, it's a little bit a moving target because we don't know, you know, what the long-term consequences of this highly inflammatory lung condition since it's only been around on the planet for 5 years. So the definition is not precise, but most people who have many people report a fatigue, a little bit of a brain fog, muscle aches and pains. They just don't feel as perky as they used to. So it's kind of vague. The symptoms are kind of vague, but they can usually pinpoint it to after they got COVID and then for some months after. Our clinic at Hennepin Healthcare, our physical medicine and rehab has a long COVID clinic. It's sort of related to chronic fatigue syndrome. It's sort of related to some of those chronic, tiresome and tiring illnesses. And so our rehab department has a clinic for that. And wherever you get your healthcare listeners, perhaps your primary care clinician can point you to someone like that.
All right. If you have any kind of a health care question, call or text either one, 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare here in the Twin Cities, is back helping our CCO listeners out. And again, they're coming in fast and furious here. I tell you, I know we're going to break here in a moment, but I wanted to get, before we get too far behind, a listener wants to know because again, you treat adults. That's your specialty, your internal medicine.
Indeed, yeah.
And what is best, Texter wants to know, for arthritic knee pain? And they're talking about, they're giving examples of over-the-counter medications. What would you recommend for over-the-counter?
Right,
maybe
so
not a product name, but...
Yeah. If we're talking about osteoarthritis or the wear and tear of your joints. I always liken it to a brake pad on a car. You know, your brake pads wear out, don't they? You have to replace your brake pads. Well, your knees have a cartilage that wears away and the bones start to grind on each other. And unfortunately, you can't just replace your knee cartilage like you can your brake pad. So the best thing to do doesn't come in a pill bottle at all. What the best thing to do is to exercise your knees, strengthen the muscles, the ligaments, the tendons all around your knee. That's the best thing to do to support that joint. Go to a physical therapist. That's my first recommendation. But for the over-the-counter medications, you can start with acetaminophen, which goes under, in this country, the brand name Tylenol. For most people, that's safe. It is not a miracle cure, don't get me wrong, but a little bit of Tylenol is a reasonable thing. And if it's giving you a little help but not very long-lasting, it's okay to schedule that Tylenol. Take it every 6 hours on a schedule. Not just as needed. Do that for a few days and that might help you out. And it could be that you need a daily Tylenol, one or two of those. You can take things that are a little even better at inflammation that are called the non-steroidals. They are the class of medicines like ibuprofen and naproxen, otherwise known as Advil, Motrin, Aleve. These are also quite good for inflammation. But the wear and tear of your knee isn't really inflammation, it's wear and tear. But many people can get some relief from those non-steroidals. They are hard on your intestines. They're not great for your kidneys. You shouldn't take them if you have heart failure, for instance, if you have heart problems. So be a little more cautious about those. Start with the Tylenol, and then you can try those other non-steroidals if you need to. I might suggest acupuncture. Try that.
We've talked about that in the show. That a lot of people have had great results from that. I know on some of our shows in the past, we've had listeners report great results. Tell you what, let's do this quick break. Here's something to think about as we head to the break. I'm looking at a text, Dr. Hilden, that says, I asked my doctor if she could test for prostate cancer. She said, they don't do that anymore. What should be done? Well, we'll get your answer when we come back after the break. Dr. David Hilden joining us this morning, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. Denny in for Susie. She'll be back in a couple of weeks after her lengthy vacation here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's a Sunday morning at CCO Land. Denny Long in for the vacationing Susie Jones, and we have our special guest this health hour. Dr. David Hilden is back with us here on CCO, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, waiting for your health questions either by phone or by text. You want to call and chat with the doctor? Great. If you'd like to send a text like a bunch of folks are doing, 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us just before the break, we posed the question to Dr. Hilden from a listener saying, I asked my doctor if she could test for prostate cancer. She said, we don't do that anymore. What should be done? Thanks. Is that entirely true, Dr. Hilden?
Well, it's adjacent to being true, yeah. prostate cancer is so common in men, and I think it's something like 1 in 8, 1 in 9 men will end up with prostate cancer in your lifetime. But most men who have prostate cancer, although it does take a lot of men's lives, most men who have prostate cancer will die with their prostate cancer, but of something else. So a screening test is any test that finds an illness before you have any symptoms. That's a screening test. Probably the most successful one ever is the pap smear. That works wonderfully on women for cervical cancer. Mammograms are a screening test. Colonoscopies are a screening test. The reason we do them is that if you catch it early, you can fix something and you can prevent a person from dying. You can find it before it's a problem. Mammograms for breast cancer, pap smears for cervical cancer, and colonoscopies for colon cancer, we have a great effective treatment, so those are well established. Prostate cancer is fuzzier. What do you do about it? The only real screening test we have is a PSA, and it's not perfect. If it's a little bit elevated, nobody knows what to do about it. And so men get a lot of biopsies and procedures that they didn't need for an illness that wasn't going to cause them a problem in the first place. All it did was make them nervous for the last decades of their life. That being said, there is a recommendation to get a PSA, a blood test, for men in their 50s and 60s after you've had a conversation with your doctor. So what I do, I have a conversation with men in that age group. And I say, we talk about it. And if they wish to do it, I order it without thinking twice. So I order a lot of PSAs. Many men, especially doctors for some reason, they say, I don't want to know about it. So then I don't. So it's more of a shared decision-making model. You should talk about it with your doctor. We do it. We just don't do it universally on everybody. But the cost of doing it is not very high. It's just a little bit, when I mean cost, I don't mean dollars and cents. What I mean is the anxiety. Is there a downside to doing it? Well, a little anxiety, but not much more. It's only a blood test. The one thing we don't do, men, take a nice deep breath and you can rest assured that nobody's going to put a finger in places you don't want them to put it. You remember that movie Fletch? Oh my goodness.
Oh, sure.
With Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase. He has a prostate exam and he's bent over the table and he starts singing Moon River. I remember that. So we're not doing fingers any longer. That was shown to not hardly ever find anything. That's a long-winded answer. A PSA is reasonable for men in their 50s and 60s.
But a good finish answer. We like that one. as we opened up the show this morning, Dr., did you know about the confusion about COVID and when should we, what's available? Should I get this? I'm looking at a text that says, I got my last COVID vaccine the first week of May. Do I need to wait 6 months before I get the new one?
That's kind of the general recommendation nowadays. There's a law of diminishing returns. You don't want to get a vaccine too soon after you had COVID or too soon after you got the previous vaccine. Not because it's going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you. But it's not necessary, and you're not getting the maximum bang for your buck, if you will. So if you got it in May, I think you could maybe not get it today, but get it in October, and you'll be fine. That's okay. 5-6 months, you'll be fine.
Another question related to that, and you've just basically answered that. Is there, as far as an update, is there a new update COVID shot arrived? Has it arrived yet this year? What's the story on that?
It should be pulling into your local clinic or pharmacies any day now. Some already have it. Frankly, I don't even know if our clinic does. We might. We might. A lot of vaccines are given these days at pharmacies, which is kind of a new development from a decade ago. And those pharmacies are giant corporations. They're huge. And so, you know the chains of pharmacies. I won't name them all, but they have purchasing power. So frankly, your doctor's office might have to wait in line to get them. But I'm not aware of any shortages. I'm not aware of anything like that. If your clinic has it or your local pharmacy has it, you can go ahead and get it. It is an updated one this year. All of them, the flu and COVID, they're updated for 2025. So your pharmacy or your clinic has it, go for it.
Good to know. Let's grab a phone call. Mary checking in from Richfield this morning, I believe. Thanks for calling, Mary. What is your question for the doctor?
Good morning. I've had a cough since August 18th. I went to the doctor in the beginning, and my lungs were clear. I had a chest x-ray. That was clear. And then I went again last week, still clear chest x-ray and still clear lungs. I'm wondering now, is it possible that it could be related to GERD?
Hey, Mary, thank you for the question. It certainly could be. So cough, some everybody always immediately goes to your lungs, but there's three things that can cause a cough that kind of persists that are not pneumonia, not flu, and not that. The three big ones, you named one of them, GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, or acid reflux. That can cause a cough because you're lying down at night and the acid gets in your esophagus and it irritates things up in your chest and you cough. So that is a decent possibility, acid reflux. So you could look into that, or you could even just do a trial of an antacid that you get at the drugstore and try that for a week or two and see if your cough gets better. Second one is postnasal drip. You know, your sinuses and all the passages and holes in your skulls get inflammation and fluid and junk in there, junk being the medical term. You can get junk in there and it drains down the back of your throat where it irritates your throat and you cough. That's particularly bad at night and early in the morning. The third one is asthma. Now, that's a lung thing, but it's more of an airway thing. So people with asthma or reactive airways can get a cough. So acid reflux, postnasal drip, asthma. Those are your three common reasons for a cough that doesn't seem to go away. It also could just be you had a respiratory virus that nobody can see. You can usually not hear those on us with a stethoscope. You can usually not see those with a chest x-ray. So you might have some one of the hundreds of respiratory viruses that cause just a little irritation in your lungs. And the treatment for that is thyme. The tincture of thyme will hopefully make your lungs feel better after a few more weeks.
Very good. Let's take a break for that weather forecast. Looks like a pretty nice day. We'll get you details and be back with the second half of our health hour. Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with us this hour, answering any kind of a healthcare question you may have. 651-461-9226. The weather's straight ahead here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. It's a Sunday morning here on WCCO. Denny Holm filling in for the vacationing Susie Jones. She'll be back in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, if you're just joining us, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician at Hennepin Healthcare, answering again, kind of like old times, we like to say here on CCO, with having Dr. Hilden back on the radio. And we do appreciate the time, as usual. I know our listeners do as well. Here's something I remember from past shows that we did. A lot of questions about this. Is there a treatment for neuropathy in the feet and ankles?
Oh, yeah, that is a good one. And it persists just like neuropathy, this question. And it's a really good one because neuropathy is a general term for apathy, badness of your nerves, neuro. Again, that's the medical term. Badness is what apathy means. And it can be due to a lot of things. It can be due to metabolic causes, which is very common. And what I mean by that are things, the biochemical processes of your body. The most common by far is diabetes. Diabetes leads to damage to the little teeny blood vessels and the little teeny nerves. But it can be due to other things too. It can be due to nutritional problems. It can be other metabolic causes. The other thing that can cause it though are mechanical problems, not metabolic, but mechanical. Pinched nerves in your lower back, for instance, can lead to numbness and tingling in your toes. So it depends what it's from. If you have a mechanical process that can be relieved, like a herniated disc in your lower back, which is pinching a nerve, that can be relieved with medications and physical therapy and possibly surgery, and your neuropathy can get better. if it is a damage from some of these metabolic causes like diabetes, that is tougher. Your best bet is to control your diabetes as much as you possibly can and to prevent it from getting worse. And then there are some medications you can take that are helpful but not perfect. There are some called gabapentin or pregabalin. Those go under the brand names Neurontin and Lyrica, and some other things too. They can help you a little bit, but sometimes there's not a permanent solution to that. People have tried acupuncture. Twice I've mentioned acupuncture on the show. You might want to give that a try. You might want to really try getting good shoes. Go to a foot expert to give you good shoes so that it doesn't hurt every time you walk. Things like that. But see a neurologist or a primary care internal medicine doctor, and they can at least get you on a pathway to figure out what it's from and what you might do about it.
Very good. Listener wants to know via text, is calcium, taking calcium a good idea for bone health?
Yeah, your bones are constantly changing over. People think bones are like a pipe that are just sitting there. They're not. They're constantly what's called remodeling. The cells are dying off and new ones are being laid down, new bone cells. So that process has to be in good balance and requires calcium. So if you're not, you can get it from your diet. You really can. If you eat a well-balanced, healthy diet, heavy on plants, heavy on whole grains, stay away from processed foods in general if you can, then you don't need to take a calcium supplement, but it's probably a decent idea, especially for older adults. So it's okay to take a daily calcium and vitamin D, perhaps take them together. I do recommend that. It's the one supplement, pretty much the only one, that I do recommend people take is calcium plus vitamin D. The best thing for your bones, other than your diet, is weight-bearing exercise. So walking is the best one I can think of, especially if you're an older adult. It helps. Your bones are like anything else in their body. They react to the stressors you put on them. If you're sitting around on your couch all day long watching TV, you're not asking your bones to do very much, and they're going to act like it. But if you exercise and you walk, you're putting some pressures on your bones, they're going to act like that too, and they're going to get stronger. So walking is a good idea.
Very good. A caller wanted to know, I'm just looking at this message, if and or how to treat Morton's neuroma. What is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to dig back. I'm digging into the memory banks here. Morton's neuroma is a little swelling of the nerve sheath in your toes. And it's between a couple of the toes. I can't remember which one. It's like the second and the third one or... But one thing you always know about me, Denny, if I don't know, I'm going to tell you I don't know.
That's
I think
right.
It's between the second and the third toe. And it is, yes, you can get a treatment for that. It can cause a jarring pain on the bottom or your foot at the base of your toes, a Morton's neuroma. And you can see a surgeon for that. A foot surgeon can take care of that and fix that for you sometimes. At least it's worth a visit to them. Grain of salt with that answer. I am not a neurologist, but there is somebody who can, a foot surgeon should be able to help you out with that.
Okay. Here's an interesting question via text. My sister just got diagnosed with breast cancer. They also found the same cancer in her liver. She is 60 years old. I am a 55-year-old man. Should I do anything?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm pausing to think about that one. First of all, I hope your sister's okay. And the cancers are generally defined by where they started. And then if they spread, so the fact that it's a cancer in her liver is likely it started in the breast. Now, clearly, I don't know. I didn't see your sister. And so when they say it's the same cancer, it's probably what we would call metastatic breast cancer. Metastatic simply means it's spread somewhere from its primary site. It's unlikely that she has a second primary cancer in her liver, although not impossible. They would be very different kinds of cancers in that case. So what do you do as the brother of someone? There's nothing that I would recommend you do that I wouldn't recommend anyway. If you have a sister, she should be making sure to get annual mammograms. But we don't routinely recommend that in men. If you had a lump somewhere in your chest wall area, then you could see a doctor for that, but it's not very common, just not very common. So what do I recommend for a 50-year-old? Check your colon out, get a colonoscopy. What are the other ones I'm missing? If you're a smoker, check your lungs out. those kinds of things. And once you get a little bit older, you could check out your prostate. But other than that, I would say that to any man, not just right. you. So I hope your sister's doing well.
You mentioned the word colonoscopy. I'm looking at a text doctor that said, wants your opinion. Colonoscopy in the 80s for an active, relatively healthy person.
Ooh, so the guidelines would not call for getting a colonoscopy when you're in your 80s. I wouldn't either. The reasons being colon cancer for the most part starts from a little polyp. They grow over some years. They turn into cancer years later. And so it's something you worry about many years down the road. We do a colonoscopy to prevent a cancer that you were going to get 10 to 20 years from now. That is less of a concern when you're in your 80s. And so there's a risk and there's a benefit to every medical test we do. And when the benefit outweighs the risk, you should do it. And that is generally the case for colonoscopy for people in their 50s, 60s, and early 70s. The risk goes higher, higher, higher the older you get. And so there comes a point when the risk of doing the colonoscopy outweighs any potential benefit you're going to have in your expected lifetime. So I wouldn't generally recommend a colonoscopy in your 80s. They could puncture a hole in there, and then you've introduced a problem unnecessarily. Yeah. So I would probably not do it. Again, talk to your own doctor, as is always the case on the show here. But in general, I wouldn't recommend a colonoscopy if you're in your 80s.
Dr. Hillen, I'm looking at a text that came from a person who wants to be kind of proactive. It says this: when I was younger, I worked outside a lot. I'm going to be 70 years old. Should I have a dermatologist check for any skin cancer?
That's a great idea. Now, you should have somebody check for it. Dermatologists are in short supply. I don't know if any of you have tried to get into a dermatologist, but usually they're scheduled out so far into the future. It's like, holy cow, months and months. But yeah, a dermatologist is the best place to do that because they're experts. They know what to worry about and what not to worry about. But short of that, I do them all the time on patients. I'm just not an expert. I can tell if some little ditzel on your skin looks weird. And so I get somebody to do a skin exam. That is a great idea. In general, use the ABCD rule if you have something that's on your skin that is changing. A, you know, a little mole, you don't know what it is. A means, is it asymmetrical? Super round things are less concerning than asymmetrical things. B means border. Does it have a jagged border? That's worse than a smooth border. C is color. Is it changing colors? And D is diameter. Is it bigger than the pencil or an eraser of a pencil? Those four things, A, B, C, D. And then you should go in sooner if one of those four things is true.
All right. I want to grab a phone call before we do. Marcia is calling in from St. Paul this morning. Marcia, you're on with Dr. David Hillen. What is your question?
Good morning. It's good to hear your voices again, both of you.
Thank you.
Back in January, I developed a pinched sciatic nerve. The back of that knee still is painful with standing. I do nerve glides and hamstring stretches every day, but it still, you know, is hard to stand long enough to have a conversation or to take a full shower, that kind of thing. I'm wondering, is there anything you can tell me over the phone, or do I need to see an orthopedist?
Yeah, thanks for your question, Marcia, and for the kind words. Yeah, your sciatic nerve is a bundle of nerves that's giant. It's like the size of one of your fingers that comes out of your lower back, goes down the outside of your hip area, down the back of your leg, and it goes all the way down to your tippy toes. I'm sorry that's still bugging you. You're doing the right things to start out. Stretching, especially your hamstrings and your thighs and your calves. But if it's truly a pinched nerve somewhere, that might take a long time to resolve. But keep doing those. Keep doing them, doing them, doing them. I do suggest you see somebody, not necessarily an orthopedic surgeon. Frankly, I'm not sure what they're going to do. What I would do is a physical therapist. I would see a physical therapist and find some exercises that they think will help mobilize that area. They'd be really good at that. That'd be my number one recommendation as a physical therapist. And then you might try, third time today, you might try acupuncture. That might do something. And then the other thing is, I would make sure there's not something fixable in your lower spine. So if you have had a pinched nerve and you've got neurologic symptoms in your legs for many months, that's time for pictures. You probably already had them. But if you didn't, that's probably time for an MRI to see if there's something that they can fix. And if they can, then you should see a surgeon. If there's something on an MRI that they think they could fix, then you should see a surgeon.
Denny, you there?
Well, I don't know what happened to my good friend, Denny Long. I hope you can still hear me.
I will throw it to a break, and we'll try and get him reconnected here, all right?
Sounds great.
Welcome back to our Health Hour. Denny Long here, along with internal medicine physician Dr. David Hilden from Hennepin Healthcare. Hadn't planned on talking about this, Dr. Hilden, but it's been such a week or 10 days, and let's talk a little bit about what's been going on at Hennepin Healthcare, if you will.
Well, thanks for that, Denny. Yeah, it's just been an awful couple of weeks for the families of the shootings at Annunciation Church and school, and other shootings. There was one just the day prior to that at Jesuit Ray Catholic High School. And so for all of the shooting victims, you know, the where our thoughts ought to be are with them. So just a shout out to all of those families. But if I could just spend one moment telling you about the incredible colleagues I work with at Hennepin. I don't personally have anything to do with trauma care, but I was there at the hospital when those children were brought in, and 9 of them were brought in, and I saw my colleagues in pediatrics just unbelievably good care. And when we all got a page on our pager that said pediatric mass casualty. That doesn't happen very often. I can't even remember when the last time it happened. And so so the pediatricians all responded, the surgeons responded. Those paramedics of Hennepin EMS were on the scene with physicians and paramedics at Annunciation School, and within 25 minutes, all of those children and adults were shipped off to the appropriate hospitals. Our surgeons were operating with skill and grace. Our anesthetists were case after case doing that, and our child life specialists, our psychologists. We have a psychology team that is second to none, who fanned out across our hospital to help families, to help children, and frankly, to help the staff. And I saw our psychologist team in a break room huddled together crying over what they had to endure. And so just a shout out to my colleagues in all of those disciplines. The emergency department is the best in the business. And our hospital is as good as any in the world when it comes to an event like that. And we're having financial issues at our hospital. It's a weird healthcare system we live in. So any support the community can do for a life-saving resource in Hennepin Healthcare is appreciated. They performed like heroes last week. And I was just a witness to it. I had nothing to do with it, but I was a witness to it. And just a shout-out to my colleagues.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because we hear such a terrible news from the other sources, as we should, about the families and the tragedy. But it is good to hear some inside information about what other folks are doing as well. And, yeah, it's a great place. HCMC is – Hennepin Health is just a tremendous place. That's where I go, and I wouldn't go anywhere else.
I appreciate that, Denny. And if you want to learn more, or you want to hear my sad old voice, you can listen to my podcast. It's at healthymatters.org. Or wherever you get your podcast, we do an episode every 2 weeks. I miss doing 13, 14 years of live radio on CCO with you, Denny. But I am doing a podcast, not quite as fun, but it might be 30 minutes of worth your time every other – whenever you want to, but you go to healthymatters.org.
And plug it in while you're driving.
Exactly.
In between listening to CCO radio, of course.
Of course, you should have your radios on CCO. But maybe you're on your treadmill or you're cooking dinner and you want 20 to 30 minutes of health talk, you can listen to healthymatters.org.
I know my family listens as well to that. It's a great podcast, so check it out. All right. We obviously, I'll tell you what, you've agreed already. I'm going to tell our listeners and apologize. We're not getting to the rest of these texts, and there are many. But you've agreed to come back with us next week to kind of finish up, right?
Yeah, let's do the sequel next week. We'll try to get to more of your questions. As you know, Denny, I'm a talker, so I'll try to keep my answers briefer maybe next time.
Dr. Hill, we have about a minute and a half, and I think this is a good question about what about those mail-in colon testing samples?
They're good. They're good. The only thing you need to know, the best colon cancer screening test is the one you will do. So if you do a colonoscopy and it's normal, you're good for 10 years. So a lot of people like that. But other people don't want to do that. You want to do a mail-in one. So do that. Then you maybe only have to do it every 1, 2, or 3 years if it's normal. The one thing to know about them is if your mail-in colon cancer test is abnormal, you still bought yourself a colonoscopy because then somebody has to go in there and look to find out what was abnormal. But for people at average risk, those stool-based tests are a reasonable option.
Looking at another text, and I know this may be our last one here, and we talked about COVID shots, flu shots, RSV, and a listener wants to know, can you get all of those at once? Would that be recommended or no?
You can. Your body is bombarded by things all the time. All the time. You breathe them through your skin, through things you eat. Your immune system is perfectly capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time or managing an RSV, a COVID, and a flu shot at the same time. It is perfectly okay to get them at the same time. You might have a sore arm. You might have 24 or 48 hours of feeling a little punky. That's normal. You didn't get the diseases. Your body's just practicing. When you feel sick after a shot, your body's just practicing, but it's okay to get them all at once.
Another quick one, and I know the answer already because we've had it many times over the years doing the show. Do you recommend a daily multivitamin?
What do you think, Denny? I recommend getting the best healthy diet you can, yeah. Not processed foods, plant-based, lean meats, that kind of stuff. If you want to take a multivitamin, you can. It's not usually necessary.
Tell us again, and by the way, thank you, and we'll talk to you next week. Tell us again how we find your podcast to listen
to. Yeah, go to healthymatters.org. All one word, healthymatters.org.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Dr. Hilden. Talk to you next week.
See you next week, Denny.
Dr. David Hilden will be back next week as I fill in for Susie Jones. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO.